This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. It was brilliant to speak with Brian, especially to speak about the medical marijuana legalization, or the attempt of that around the world. It gives me hope in a place like Britain where it's still illegal. I've also asked him to come on the show again because, oh my Lord, it's going to be a long conversation to have about voting machines, that's for sure. And I think it's a really important year to be discussing that sort of stuff. So really appreciate Brian's input there. Now, did you know that talking about this, I would be at risk of facing the death penalty in Singapore? It's true. Did you know that in France, I could easily be targeted and jailed by what we refer to colloquially as the popo? Did you realize that I could look forward to 5 years in prison in Japan or life imprisonment in Indonesia? Yes, that's true. It's because I smoke weed. Oh my God. Dangerous thing to do. As you heard Brian say, extremely dangerous. You could actually relax and not have to take all of those pharmaceuticals. Don't tell my boss though. I'm sure he won't hear. But I may even smoke some after the show today. Shh, don't tell anybody. Cannabis laws worldwide are archaic. Even in the United Kingdom, I could be arrested for my love of the green stuff. And this is mostly because they think weed will stop my productivity. They think it'll lead to me robbing or assaulting someone. They think that it'll lead to further criminality, which has always suggested to me that the people designing the laws have never met a smoker in their life. Of course, they have met a pothead or two. They probably know a few right now, but because those who paint weed smokers as some of the worst in our society are so derogatory about us, no one who knows those people will tell them the truth about what they do behind closed doors. Despots often don't realize that all the people they know personally want to remain free, because once they do, despots will try and jail them. That's the way it works. The fact is, some people in the world want control of what other people in the world do. Like with the smoking ban, as we've seen, you know, if they can't get it now, then it's good enough that they can get that control in the future. They could dress it up with all manner of fancy reasoning and try and logic, but it's just about control, plain and simple. Japanese people don't hate me. Indonesian people probably don't hate me. Singaporeans probably don't hate me either. But still, they're just forced to do what the prevailing masters tell them to do. I work with some of the teenagers in my area. When I say that, I mean I don't represent anybody. I mean, I just stop them lighting things on fire. And when I say some, I mean the bad boys who are in their teens and who are constantly targeted by the police. They often trust me because I target the police with my own work and because I smell of weed. Those two factors are good currency while trying to bridge the gap between the minds of the adult and the minds of a teenager. I talk to them honestly, and after they've quit being abusive teenagers, they all say the same thing. The only way they can make money is by selling weed, and then they're constantly targeted by the police. So instead, they burn things in the park, chase each other around with axes, and cause masses of trouble. Now, don't take what I say so simply. I don't want them to be dealing weed, but weed is a tool which the police use to make these kids jobless before they've even started looking for a job. Like, in the same way, they make cigarettes illegal before the kids have even got to the point of wanting to smoke. The criminal records and police orders which come with dealing weed leave those kids unable to find work once they get older. I've watched this cycle repeat for each generation of local youth. They become criminalized by the system, a few years pass, and they accept the tag criminality which has been thrust upon them, whether they like it or not. And then they only have one career which they've already been trained for, as weed dealers. In fact, most of them would benefit from weed being made legal. Firstly, information is more prevalent once people are no longer scared to speak about drugs. Secondly, they're less likely to face criminal sanctions, which will negatively affect their future. Thirdly, they get to learn about something they really love and potentially have careers waiting for them in the medical marijuana industry, which is thriving in many countries. Cannabis isn't illegal because it's of its widespread harm. It's illegal because the police want to use it as a tool to target people they don't like. It is illegal because it allows the police to aim at people they want to take down for other reasons. It is illegal because it's a very effective method to abuse powers meant to protect the same people it targets. And it's illegal because it'll take all of the profits away from Big Pharma. At the same time, those who need cannabis as a medicine are forced to jump through hoops and to suffer so the police can keep their little toy, their little tool, so the police can keep having an excuse to target the people they hate. Cannabis is illegal so the police can continue being corrupt. That is a fact. Now, just before we continue, how do you fancy a bank holiday weekend at a music festival for the Truth and Freedom tribes? I'm in that tribe. That's amazing. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rambling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, which sounds dangerous to me, bouncy castles, ban them, and Hope Sussex for Children. That sounds good. Plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth in the world. A Stand in the Park and Light Paper presents Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to 27th. And it is completely astoundingly beautiful, that area. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. Children under five come free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now to make sure you don't miss what is going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. And remember, at TNT, we never go home. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7, online, globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, according to Amnesty International, the US and UK are complicit in the detention of thousands of people in camps and facilities in northeast Syria, where authorities are violating human rights on a large scale. Here with the story, join me again, is my favorite TNT news producer, Adam Clark. Ruckus, tell us more.
Hey, Johnny. Isn't it always fun learning where our tax dollars go? Just saying. You were speaking there in your monologue about a particular practice or a plant that they certain countries want to make illegal. Well, you know what should be illegal and usually is in most places? You know, torturing people, depriving them of medical care, other, you know, widespread humanitarian, human rights abuses, which have been documented in this particular area that we're speaking of today, which is so far from, you know, US, it's far from the UK. So I imagine most people don't think about this. They don't care what happens out there. Well, you should, especially when a group such as Amnesty International comes and calls you out on it. The London-backed NGO says that the London-based NGO, that's where Amnesty is, they say that the Western-backed region's autonomous authorities are responsible for large-scale human rights violations against people who've been held since the end of the ground war against Islamic State, IS. That was more than 5 years ago. According to Amnesty, the United States is, quote, involved in most aspects of the detention system, end quote, which consists of at least 27 little reported facilities where suspected IS affiliates are held and Al-Hol and Rojh camps. According to this report, 56,000 detainees, including 30,000 children and 14,500 women, more than 20 UK nationals, by the way, as well as people stripped of their British citizenship, most notably one Shamima Begum in Rojas, who was 15 when she left her East London home to travel to IS territory. That, according to reporting from The Guardian, the UK has provided more than 15 million, is that pounds? Yep. To help expand a large Syrian Democratic Forces SDF facility called Panorama, which detains men and boys who have been denied access to adequate food and medical care, which leads to illnesses and diseases, including a severe outbreak of tuberculosis, which is killing one or two people every week, according to Amnesty. Sasha Desmuk, the charity's UK chief executive, said, quote, continued inaction from the government amounts to connivance in the unlawful detention of UK nationals amid misery, disease, and possible death. The UK government has a responsibility for all its citizens, including Shamima Begum, which it can't cast off when that might suit it, end quote. He said the UK should stop blocking its citizens' return and help establish a fair process to identify who should be released and bring IS criminals to justice. Real quick, Johnny, the report, which includes interviews with 126 current or former detainees, contains harrowing details of torture that I am not going to get into. But if you so choose, you can read Amnesty's report. There's a lot of condemning accusations about the United States in here as well. So, yeah, there we have it. That's how we do things in the free world, Johnny. But what say you about this new report from Amnesty? Yeah,
really sad to hear about it. And, you know, with Shamima Begum, as a British person, I look at this now and I think we're about to speak with someone who understands how the kids have been targeted with, you know, gender ideology. And a lot of them fall for it, you know, a lot of the kids have fall for it. But you're not allowed to fall for religious ideology when you're young, like false ideology, religiously speaking. No, because she was a kid. She was a school kid. Her and her friends were around 15 years old, and they all managed to sneak out there, which is one trip for sure. I mean, to be able to be kids and to snuck out of the country on your own says something about how they managed to do that, and it's quite impressive, to be honest. But then once everything turned upside down, of course, they've been abandoned, and they've been abandoned because, well, in this case, because it's IS, you're not allowed to have ever made a mistake in your life. And this, of course, I mean, this will ring for this will ring bells about Guantanamo Bay and how we feel about Guantanamo Bay as well, because this is just, I'm sure that there's actually, though Amnesty what raises this now, there must be loads of camps all over the world in war-torn countries that are full of people who have no representation and don't have Amnesty International saying, look at these camps full of people where they've been displaced by Western wars. So I'm not surprised to hear about any of this. Was there any sign of action for it, or are they just going to leave them out there in the middle of nowhere forever?
Oh, well, unfortunately, there's little to no action on things like this, sadly, Johnny, especially in today's tense world that's more focused on trying to start World War III and elections. They've got bigger problems, unfortunately, like I said. And you raise an excellent point. I mean, these are only the places that we know about. And here, at least we're reporting on it. Some places will report on it, and then it'll just go away in 24 hours. Everybody will forget about it and move on. But things will not move on for these 50,000 somewhat people, for these 30,000 children. You know, and then I'm reminded of, I believe it was Nelson Mandela, who, of course, spent some time behind bars in South Africa, who famously said, and I'm quoting him, "No one truly knows a nation until one has been inside its jails. A nation should not be judged by how it treats its highest citizens, but its lowest ones." So, you know, even though it's not our prisons, the United States or the UK, it's very telling that we allow this to go on and fund it and support it. We could at least either stop funding and supporting it or go out there and try to stop it and, you know, have the moral high ground. But, you know, I won't hold my breath, let's just say.
No, and the situation out there has got even more complicated with what's going on at the moment, because, I mean, missiles are flying over Syria, I'm sure, to get to Israel when Iran attack and Syria gets attacked as well by Israel just before, with missiles here and there. In actual fact, Syria is has a load of different armies still with little bits of bases from that conflict. So I don't think it's ever gone anywhere. And I think it will continue to be a thorn in our paw, unfortunately. Thank you very much for that sad news. I'm sure I will see you tomorrow, will I, Ruckus?
Absolutely, my friend. Talk to you then.
I hope you bring us some good news then. Well, then we'll see if there's any good news to be had. Until then, we'll be back very soon with our next guest on this hour, and you're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT's Dirk Pohlman.
There was a plan on the British side to immediately after the victory over Germany to continue the war to push the weakened Soviet Union back over backwards. Yeah, so that is something that is not well known. That plan has been, you could find it on the internet and then it's off and on sometimes again. It's very difficult. It's not long. It's something like, if I recall correctly, something of 30 pages, I would say. I read it.
The Soviets had this coup in Czechoslovakia in 1948. And that appeared as the Soviets really was pushing forward, and they would... They thought that this means that we have to start an alliance against the Soviets. And that was NATO became.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
It sounds pretty good.
It sounds real, dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. I have a really interesting human being up next, someone who I've enjoyed researching and I think has a voice which is loud, concise, and necessary. Now, we may not agree on everything, but I love a debate and conversation. I'm really looking forward to doing just that. So let's start off with a good introduction for the people listening at home. Scott Nugent is a transgender man who transitioned at the age of 42. His transition led to numerous medical complications, including 7 surgeries, a pulmonary embolism, an induced stress heart attack, sepsis, a 17-month reoccurring infection, and more. These complications resulted in a significant loss, including his home, car, savings, career, wife, medical insurance, and faith in himself and God, which is always a sadness when people just lose faith in life in general. Scott's experiences have led him to become an outspoken critic of the medical industry's approach to transgender healthcare, particularly when it involves children. His story has been featured in various media outlets, including Matt Walsh's documentary, What is a Woman?, where he discusses the devastating health consequences of his transition. Despite the challenges he has faced, as the founder of Trey Voices and president of Trans Regretters, Scott remains dedicated to his mission of preventing the pro-trans community from chemically or surgically altering children while warning others about the harms and permanence of medical transition. You can follow him on X at not Scott Nugent and visit his website, scottnugent.com, if you want to talk to him. Scott, I am fascinated, intrigued, interested. I am raring to go. So can you tell the audience in your own words what led you to doing all of this important work?
Well, you know, at 42, I came to a place in my life where the whole transgender kind of ideology kind of, built a blanket around me and told me that, you know, something would come true that I'd always wanted, which is I would fit completely and totally into society. And for me, that was a little bit too much for me to pass up. And going through the process on top of having three children, you know, carrying life and giving birth, understanding what it is, what it isn't, and what it does kind of gave me a, a little fire to make sure that no other children go through this and parents are educated, because that information is just not out there. It's not out there.
Yeah, it's obviously been a difficult journey for you as I was reading through all of that stuff. That's not just one or two things. That's like a multiple, 5 to 10 life-changing events that you actually endured during that period. What do you think could have made life easier for you while you were on this journey?
You mean what could have made my life easier medically transitioning or in general? Before medical transition,
I think a bit. You can answer both. I think I think one would be a loaded question for me. Saying do you think it would have been better to have counseling, psychological help, some sort of help that gives you emotional support and lets you look at life, but also what would have made it easier when you're going through the transition as well? So both.
Gotcha. So you know what? Let me just kind of stop you right here, Johnny, with the idea that talking about medical transition or talking about transgenderism like it's some kind of euphoric, unicorn fart that fixes things, or that it's really, really easy, or that it's needed, wanted within our society to fill a void or fix people is wrong. And so the first thing that we need to do, Johnny, is define what transgenderism is. Define what medical transition is. Medical transition is a cosmetic procedure. It's a cosmetic procedure that you go under with synthetic hormones that's very powerful, or surgery. It doesn't fix anything. So let's start there. Unless, I don't know if boob jobs have been approved to be life-saving, but we need to get a grip. But when you say that it's life-saving, what happens is that, we have 4 years ago, there was 100,000 kids in the United States that thought that they were born in the wrong body. 4 years later, that has gone to 2.1 million. So when we're talking about puberty blockers, we're talking about maybe, if 100,000 kids 4 years ago were on puberty blockers for about 3 years, that would be, about $8 billion. Take that 4 years later, 2.1 million kids think that they are born in the wrong body. We take that number and we're talking in the trillions if we start, adding on the, synthetic hormones and whatnot. So this is a case of a business model that is making a ton of people money, number one. Number two, it's promoting mental illness. When you are told that medical transition is going to fix your life, make you fit in, it's something that you just can't let go of. It's a really, really long process, and it's the reason why the only long-term study that has ever held the test of time tells us that these kids that are being medically transitioned will be 14 times more likely than any other part of society to commit suicide, and will be more suicidal after than before. And that's the truth. So let's start there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the saddest aspects about it is the rates of suicide, of course, you can see that people don't feel like they have any option. And that's probably given by being given one option to suit all ills, and it doesn't even come close to touching on what the real issue is, because it's all physical options being put forward when a lot of it is. Do you think that the term dysphoria, there's loads of terminology that is bandied about. Do you think that this is something that's of the mind?
Well, sure. You know, here's the thing. We talk about gender dysphoria, right? And so I'm going to say, I have no studies for this. Everything that I always say is on my website as far as studies. If I don't have anything, this is just my opinion with talking to tons and tons and tons and tons of transgender people. So dysphoria is basically, you know, thinking that you are something that you're not. It's kind of a delusion. It's the same way as a 16-year-old, a girl who is 90 pounds that thinks that she's fat, right? So you tell me what psychologist is talking to parents, telling parents that, hey, listen, you know what? Your child is going to kill themselves. If you don't wake your child up every morning, sit them in front of the mirror and have them say, I'm fat and ugly 500 times a day, send them to school, pick them up from school, take them to a class that does the benefits of starvation to the body and come back and see me. So that's the first thing. Gender dysphoric people, genuine gender dysphoric people. And here's the thing. Most people that medically transition are not gender dysphoric. The ones that are gender dysphoric are the ones that end up killing themselves at the end, or the ones that do the worst after medical transition. The ones that do okay are the ones like, you know, Buck Angel, where, you know, I know I'm a woman. This is comfortable for me. This is a cosmetic thing. It helps me walk through life a little bit lighter. And that does happen. And so we need to stop talking about a medical transition as black and white, or black and white in general. It's really good for social media stars. It's not good for society. There is a small portion of people that do medically transition and walk a little bit lighter. Not very many. But the people that do the worst, the ones that are killing themselves, the ones that are absolutely losing their minds, are the ones that start out with gender dysphoria. It is a horrible mental illness that we are doing a disservice for these kids that are truly gender dysphoric.
I don't think I've heard many people say it better than that. Listen, we're going to take a quick break for the news. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
Really big, the biggest breaking news story. Big, gigantic, big, enormous.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. A court in Belgium ruled late Tuesday night that a Brussels mayor exceeded his authority by ordering police to shut down a conservative conference, deeming it a violation of the constitutional right to freedom of assembly. Due to his ongoing criminal trial in New York, former President Donald Trump must adjust his campaign strategy. Typically expected to be on the campaign trail, Trump will instead need to focus on the courtroom, which will now serve as his primary platform for the coming weeks.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hello there. Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show. I'm here with Scott Nugent, and we're talking about, well, trans ideology, really, the effect that it has on people. And you were saying just before the break something that makes a hell of a lot of sense about the people who... is it because people are promised something that they can never get to? You know, that idea that, oh, I'm going to have surgery, I'm going to have all of these medical interventions, I'm going to take all of this medicine, and then at the end of it, the thing that I want, I'm still not going to have. Is that why people do that badly?
Well, sure, Johnny. So here's the thing. People that medically transition, whether it offends people or not, are people that have comorbidities. Now, this is truth. If it offends you, I apologize, but it's the truth. So the comorbidities are kids that are autistic, and even adults that are autistic, same-sex attracted, mentally gifted, a little bit oddball in society, mentally ill, abused, all those kind of things that, you know, for 50 years within the gay community, we tried to tell people that, hey, listen, being homosexual is something that you are. You can't change it through therapy. You know, but we missed the whole case of saying that there are some people that are pushed towards homosexuality with grooming or kind of, you know, any kind of incidents that happen in their life. And those people deserve therapy. You know, we forgot to say that and do black and white. So we won this argument with such a black and white thing that transgenderism has taken the homosexual argument and went. And so here we have all these people that think that being transgender is about who they are, who is authentic. And so society doesn't listen to things. And we have social media stars. Their business model is pick a subtribe, conservative subtribe, gay subtribe, trans subtribe, this or that. Have a little bit of, you know, enthusiasm, you know, stick to it, and you can make a lot of money. But what you don't want to do is come in and put any kind of fault into your outline. So if you're a gay activist and you don't believe in abortion, don't say that, because you're going to lose your support. You're going to lose all your donations. And so we're in a very, very sick place in society. And so from that perspective, that's the first thing that we need to do is have leaders. I always say this. We need new leaders that say what they feel. They debate and they get on that floor to where they debate with somebody. And, you know, if you debate with somebody, it doesn't matter if you are, you know, 98% right on something, you're going to walk away from that debate and lose a little bit of the mystery that, oh, my God, Scott's always right. And so nobody wants to do that anymore. Only thing people want to do is make money, write books, make movies, and just make fun of everybody else and not fix anything.
Yep, spot on. I have to say that when you were talking there, I had two different conversations I had years ago. I mean, over a decade and a half ago now, with different friends. One who I worked with, who was a man who became Christine on the weekends, and was very proud. I mean, very knew exactly who he was on the weekdays, knew exactly who he was on the weekends, who she was on the weekends, and was a fantastic character. And we worked nights together for many years, so we had loads of really deep conversations, of course, when we had lots of time in hotels. And one question I asked was, do you know where it comes from? You know, where it comes from in your past? And this question was something I asked to a few friends who I'd seen express in different ways, including a friend who I had who identifies as gay, but said he wouldn't have been gay unless he had experienced the abuse that he had experienced when he was younger. He felt that he was.
No, I'm going to stop you with identifying on gay. That's a unicorn fart. And that puts us in a basically place where we are. So let's speak reality about that. You know, there are homosexuals that are homosexual. They can't change who they're attracted to. Doesn't mean they can change what they do or what they don't do. But identifying as homosexual, and we're talking about that really does fit an agenda. And that does fit for some people, but not the majority. I apologize, but go ahead. That irritates me, because what we're doing is we're compounding transgenderism and homosexuality. Not the same thing. No, separate them.
Definitely. And what I'm doing is looking for words to have this conversation with. And of course, I go to the terminology that's most used. And the terminology at the moment is identify. And I wouldn't use that even back then. I probably would have used something different.
Stop using it because you're getting used. Stop using it.
Yeah, most definitely.
Reality. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, no, I agree. And I like the challenge. I'm someone who enjoys being challenged, and I enjoy having these conversations. But the conversation that we were talking about there, where we need to be able to say these words and be challenged, you know, it's the challenge, the fear of the challenge, that makes people withdraw what they say or be silent. So it's, I think there's a point of learning how we can come together on that. Oh, there you go. There's terminology.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Mundane, but really just like trying to cross borders in things like this, and boundaries, really personal boundaries, is an extremely hard thing. But yeah, definitely not afraid of that. And I'm sure we're gonna disagree about some of the things that we're about to talk about as well, because you've clashed with a few big names within the trans debate as well. You're very honest, and like that, you don't take nonsense. So when you hear something and you say it out loud. So what's it like being a campaigner on this scene with such a divisive subject, with such a divided scene?
So here's the thing. We have children that are being told that they're born in the wrong body. We have children that are undergoing puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, surgeries that's going to cut their lives by 10 to 15%, have early onset osteoporosis, have heart and lung damage, blood issues, you know, not be able to give birth. And then at, you know, 27, realizing what they did was wrong. So these are very, very important issues that we need to talk about. Unfortunately, we talked a little bit about the mental illness side, right? So we have people like Indiana Willsby or whatever that I've, you know, said, hey, let's debate. You have this idea that, you know, unicorn farts are real, glitter bombs are real. And so, you know, she attacks JK to the point where it's just ruthless. But when somebody says, hey, let's have a debate and talk about this, they turn face. And the reason why they do that is because you're not going to go to the supermarket and talk to the craziest person that is homeless and has all his junk in a cart and is talking to Jesus on the right-hand side, thinking that he's there having a conversation. And you're not going to stand behind him and go, hey, listen, do you know that Jesus is not there? You're not going to get anywhere with that person because that person's nuts, right? So those are the leaders. You know, in my opinion, Indiana Willsby is very, very mentally ill. She should not be leading a conga line. She should not be listened to about anything. And if she is, and she does think that she is somebody that can have a debate, well, then have it with me. She agreed to have a debate. She said, I want $20,000. Well, I've lost my career, my job. I have a hard time, you know, paying for butter for my kids. But if it's going to get me an hour in a room with somebody to help save these kids, I'll do so. So I said, okay, I'll get it for you. All of a sudden, they go away. And the reason why is because if you have a conversation with a dude in the cart that's talking to Jesus on the right-hand side that's crazier than hell, in a debate, they're going to lose bad. And so, you know, the media and all that kind of stuff are not wanting to get, they're not telling people the same stuff, because even you, as you, I can tell you're probably conservative. I don't read about anybody, by the way. And that's fine. I am too. But even you are using the unicorn farts and the glitter bombs. You know, so that is how much our society is suppressed down. So we need to get the crazier than hells, Indiana Willoughby and all that kind of stuff. We need to get them in a room and go, what makes you feel that way? And they're just going to fall apart. They can't handle it. They can't do it. Yeah.
I can tell you that I don't class myself as conservative, but I will be disagreeing with you. But first of all, we got to take a little advert break. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
Sometimes a car comes along that changes everything, with innovations never thought possible and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VW Bee. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you'll never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
Whatever happened to good? It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, and it's become our automatic answer to so much.
Hey, how's things?
Good.
Your mum, your weekend?
Good, good. Is good even that good anymore? At the Selbos, we believe good deserves better. Let's reclaim its true meaning. To us, good has always been about making a difference, and good never picks or chooses who it helps. Isn't it time we all remember what good really means?
No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
So I'm here with Scott Nugent. We're having a real good debate. challenges coming in. I like a little bit of this. We'll get backwards and forwards on this. So you were just talking about India Willoughby demanding 20 grand to speak to you in a debate, which for me, yeah, that sounds completely off the hook. Why did she personally get your goat?
Well, here's the first thing. You know, the activists, I'll stop talk about this, activists that we're talking about, they get that kind of money, you know. So we're talking about genuine, you know, people that are speaking out about stuff, and it's on both sides. You know, you could take Riley Gaines, same thing. You know, people are making a ton of money. And so when you do that, you kind of lose the authenticity, authentic kind of selves with that. So people are making tons of money, not very many, but it's ruining our society. So the reason why India offered that money or asked for that money, because she didn't think I would get it. And what she doesn't know is that I've dedicated my life to this. I have three kids. There's no way I could walk away from this. If I can get somebody pushing a cart, talking to Jesus, homeless, in a debate that has some kind of, you know, people listen to her and or think she's fascinating or whatever, I can cut that down in 30 seconds. So that's worth $20,000 to save thousands of kids for me. So for me, she didn't think I would go, okay, I'll get it. What date do you want? Give me about 3 weeks. And so when that happens, you see them kind of do a pivot, right? When they do that pivot, you know, media doesn't cover that anymore, right? Because even you, who I can tell, we don't agree on everything, but you try to do the right things. Not very many of you guys in media. So when you try to do the right things, and even you are using the verbiage where I'm like, Johnny, unicorn farts, glitter bomb, stop. But you're trying to do the right thing, right? So when we have right thing people in media talking like that, we got a huge problem. So what needs to happen is we need to have those debates, and we're well worth $20,000. I even said to her, hey, is $50,000 enough to get you in a room to talk with me? You need to get me in front of these people in mainstream media. I will cut this down in a second. And I'm not looking for the paydays. I'm not looking for the fame. I'm wanting to stop this. And so people know that, and they don't want that. I would cut this. You give me 6 months with 20% of what evangelicals give Riley Gaines to speak, this would be over in 6 months.
We're definitely going to have a long conversation about words and how they're used and what they mean and things that enter in, because there is, of course, newspeak is something that does exist and we're watching it all around.
Yep.
But you were talking about J.K. Rowling as well.
Yep.
And I understand that she's been a prominent figure standing up, but again, people who don't call out things, if we want to talk about that, well, I think J.K. Rowling is a definite gatekeeper. She trained through the World Economic Forum by the establishment of young global leaders. Massive marker for me. I think that she's funneling people to her and taking a correct stand on the trans right issues and then pumping out a bucket load of pro-Zionist propaganda and supporting a total obliteration of the rights of the Palestinian people during the genocide.
Oh, for Christ's sake, can you break that down to English? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, that's what gatekeepers do. What gatekeepers do is basically they get you in agreement. So you agree with her about that subject. But then what that does is bring lots of people to her. And then she's extremely pro-Zionist at the time when people should be standing up for other children's rights. Because it's not just the children with the transgender debates. It's the children who are being murdered systematically in Israel. Now, she stands up for one and doesn't stand up for the other. That does come to a point where it sounds like she's a gatekeeper and she's gone through the establishment training organization. Okay. So
let's break that down.
Problematic.
Let's break that down. What is J.K. Rowling's getting? What is her win for doing what you're saying that she's doing? What does she get
masses
at the end of the day?
Of money.
So J.K. Rowling is one of the richest writers in the world, doesn't have enough $1 billion. So she's trying to make more on the heads of children. I don't think so.
I think that's really that's what rich people all around the world who are all part of the establishment do on a regular basis. And gatekeeping is something that we know exists. And it's a perfect example, in my opinion, of it. So, I mean, this is what I think. You've got a blind spot on that
Maybe
subject.
So.
I've got a blind spot on other subjects.
With JK, though.
I don't. I understand, but go on.
Here's the thing with J.K. Rowling's. She's been doing this. I've been doing this for 5 years. She has been absolutely had the crap kicked out of her. She has lost a huge majority of her base. Every day she opens stuff up and she's getting beaten left and right and left and right. So I don't agree with you with what you're saying. I cannot speak intelligently about it because I haven't read about it, but I'll tell you what I will do, Johnny. I will read about it. If you want to talk to me in a couple of weeks, we can have a real conversation about this, but I do not agree with you on J.K. Rowling. I don't.
I think that there has to be blanket protection of children, no matter Absolutely. Where they are or what they're doing. So supporting the current genocide in Israel is really negative. And she is extremely rich, so she and extremely powerful in her influence. So she can lose a bit of that wealth and a bit of that influence and then gain it elsewhere. So, I mean, that's something I think I would love to have you on somewhere else. We could have a very long conversation about that and about words as well. Because like I say, I like mm-hmm. challenge. I do like that. So I think you're a very savvy person. I love your commentary on different people. I mean, I might not agree with you on some things. And another one, which is like, I think it's nuanced as well. Can you give your take on the infamous TikToker, Jeffrey Marsh?
Jeffrey Marsh, that's actually kind of interesting. Here's the thing about me and how I do activism. I'm not after money. I'm not after fame. I really don't care. I'm trying to stop the medicalization of children. And that's why I'm effective. That's why I think people listen to me. So I don't get on the whole bandwagon with the whole Jeffrey Marsh's and those videos and stuff. But somebody said, hey, you know what? Why don't you do some you know, TikTok, you know, funny reactions? Well, I've been kicked off of TikTok like 27 times. I mean, I've had, you know, not Scott Nugent at Twitter, you know, I've been kicked off 6 or 7 times. I mean, if I hadn't been kicked off, I'd probably have a million followers, right? But nobody wants my voice to be heard, kind of a thing. So I have not really paid attention to Jeffrey Marsh. So I've been doing these videos and they're actually fun. They're funny. I think it shows how ridiculous the whole transgender craze is. But as I've started to watch them and watch what he does, I realize that this is a man that is very, very hurt. This is a man that needs an enormous amount of mental health. You know, he needs help and he's talking to our children. And what I realized yesterday, actually, when I was watching him, is that this is a little boy who probably had a horrible father that is trying to reparent himself by parenting these kids into thinking that unicorn farts and glitter bombs are real. And the difference between me and what everybody else thinks about Jeffrey Marsh, I don't think that he's a pedophile. I think that he is a very sick man that needs help. And I think that we're beating him up. And here's the key thing. He believes what he says. So we need to deplatform those kind of people. And how we deplatform those kind of people is to have those conversations. But here we go again, you know, pushing the cart, homeless dude, talking to Jesus. It's hard to have a conversation with those people. If you do, it slices them in half. Nobody wants to talk about these kind of issues. And even people that say that they're against the medicalization of children, right? I mean, we'll take the governor of Texas, who seems to, you know, he's an evangelical. Medically transitioning kids is child abuse. What he doesn't tell you is that he's taken over $3 million from gender clinics, siphoned, laundered through a hospital, right? I was on Candace Owen goes, well, you know, Abbott's my friend, and I don't think he would ever do that. He's a good Christian man. I said, bullshit. So I sent her a whole XXL on this guy taking money, bribes, nothing. It's radio silenced. And the thing is that nobody wants to know the truth. There's too many conservatives like Candace Owens that's making money on it. There's too many people like Marsh that's making too money on it. And then here in the middle are these kids that are getting butchered. They're getting butchered. And so for me, this is what people need to know. We are harming children with a medical process that is going to absolutely take their soul and twist it and beat it up and put it back in their bodies and they're going to be walking around society. And shame on us for not helping more.
I'd love to have a very long conversation with you about control platforms and gatekeepers as well, because I think, like you mentioned Candace Owens there, I'm suspect about the whole, I've been very open and vocal about this, about the whole Daily Wire crew for very significant reasons. And again, it's kind of like, where's the best place for them to funnel the debate that they want to have, apart from to the place where it's going to become more divisive rather than less divisive, and ignore the facts when it needs to be, simplify the arguments. I kind of agree what you say about Jeffrey Marshall. It's a couple of things. It's like, I don't want to go down a deplatforming route with almost anybody. You know, there's, of course, there's a couple of people who are completely and utterly grotesque out there who shouldn't be given a platform. Jeffrey Marsh is targeting children. So he's definitely, I mean, he's definitely fits the bill for being a groomer, whether he wants to or knows it or not. And yes, he does express out like he had obviously childhood trauma that is coming out, but he's still an adult. And I think he's much more likely, for me, it looks like borderline personality disorder. And that is a very adult thing. And so it means that he doesn't understand necessarily empathy, doesn't understand that he's doing anything wrong. So again, you're right by the fact, I think, that he doesn't necessarily understand the harm he's doing, but he's still an adult. And that's another conversation we need to come across is what about these people who have things like borderline personality disorder, who don't have an inner monologue at all, who don't have the ability to rationalize things themselves? How innocent or guilty are they of the things that they do?
Let me ask you a question, Johnny. Okay. And I'm asking for people out in the world too, just because I think that I think that Jeffrey doesn't understand what he's doing. I think he's a very, very hurt human being. So, you know, children that are molested have a high rate of molesting or becoming sexual offenders when they are adults. Once you cross that threshold and you become a pedophile, everything else washes away. So even with what I say about Jeffrey Marsh is dangerous. Jeffrey Marsh needs to have, you know, open conversations and debates with people. He needs to be deplatformed because he's hurting children. And how you do that is by lifting his crazy. You know, I feel bad for Jeffrey, you know, and I started, I was watching that, and just like I would feel bad for anybody that was, and I'm not saying he was, but anybody that, you know, had been molested as a child. Empathy right there. That's horrible. That's horrible. But when you cross that line and you do it to other kids, I'm done with that. And I feel bad for Jeffrey. He needs to be deplatformed. He's a dangerous man.
I understand what you're saying. I know that the rate, and I've done a lot of research on this, and I've also been a hunter. I was groomed for 2 years myself. It's actually 10% of people will go on to reoffend. The most 10% of people who have been abused will go on.
Really,
to
I didn't
offend.
Know that. Yeah,
yeah. And the worst of those, the sadistic preferential pedophiles, will actually have up to 100 to 150 victims. So you work out that each of one of those really bad offenders will then create 10 to 15 offenders in themselves. So that is true, but we've always got to be careful about, you know, about the fact that there's a lot of people who, like me, have then been spurred in the other direction to try and protect children who have had that experience, and they've got to be remembered too. Yeah, we're coming up to the last 30 seconds now. Where can people support your work, and where can people find you?
So here's the thing. You can find me at scottnugent.com. I have absolutely completely now lost my last position as a sales manager after a couple of weeks after being outed. and so I have absolutely lost my livelihood. And I have been working my butt off. If you guys want me to stop the medicalization of children, you guys, you need to support me. You need to fundraise for me. You need to get me funneled the money. And I'll tell you, give me 6 months with 10% of what Riley Gaines has, I will shatter medically transitioning children.
There you go. Listen to that. Thanks, Scott, for coming on the show. I look forward to speaking to you again. It's really nice to have a challenging conversation, and I'm glad we challenged each other. Thanks, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. So I knew I'd enjoy that. And hopefully we will get to speak again soon. For all of you watching and listening, don't go anywhere at all, because we know what comes next. It's the Mark Morano show here on TNT. Honestly, Scott Nugent and Brian Lupo, they both have my respect, left my head slightly bulging. So for me, Diokhan Vower from the Land of the Dragon, I'll be back again for another Johnny Vedmore show tomorrow. Enjoy yourself. Keep safe, stay wide awake, and join me again for a new day on today's News Talk TNT.